They call them the accidents of birth. Why were you born when you were born, or where you were born, or to whom you were born? Well, they're the things that none of us had anything to do with. Why are you white or black, or male or female? One of my sons used to wonder about such accidents when he was playing football. Why couldn't he have been 6'2" instead of 5'9", if only it had been his decision to make? Well, these are all parts of the givens of life. Why is it that some people are born with all the advantages? They live in a peaceful country, in a loving family, amidst wealth and prosperity, while others, from the beginning, have it tough. Born in a war-weary land, instead of prosperity, they face nothing but poverty and hardship. We're simply thrown into the world, aren't we? Forced to play the hand we're dealt. We may envy a child who's born into wealth, but we don't praise him for it. He had nothing to do to deserve it. And we may pity a child who's born into poverty, but we don't attribute to him some virtue of humility as a result. He had no choice in the matter. It was just an accident of birth. But you know, there is one person for whom the accidents of birth simply do not apply. There was one person who wasn't just thrown into the world willy-nilly. No, he chose to come. And he chose to come in the way that he came. And in that choice, he revealed to us the very heart of God. Now, that's what the Christmas story is all about, isn't it? It's the mystery of a baby born in a cattle stall. But this was no ordinary baby who just happened to appear at the whim of its parents. No, this person born in that humble state was sent. This person came from another realm, from another sphere of existence altogether. That person who appeared as a baby was none other than the Son of God. And he entered into this world intentionally. That's the mystery of Christmas, the mystery of the incarnation, God become flesh, the mystery that stretches our imaginations beyond the breaking point, doesn't it? What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? The creator of the universe, born helpless and hungry, the hands which flung the stars into place, lay still within his mother's embrace. It was no accident, being born in a cattle stall to a young woman who was betrothed to a carpenter. They were from an obscure village in a remote part of a distant province of the Roman Empire. No royal glory there. No palace, no servants. There wasn't even a room available at the local comfort inn. And he would have it no other way. What does this say about one who would choose to be born like this? The Apostle Paul puts it this way in his second letter to the Corinthians. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Though he was rich, though he was equal with God the Father, though he shared in the very glory of the Godhead, living in the splendor of his heavenly rule with a majesty that was unimaginable, though he was rich, he chose to give it up. And he became poor." Just think of it. God coming into the world, not in the glory and honor that was his due, but in utter dependence and humiliation. What a picture it was. The royal son of David, the divine son of God, born in a dirty stable, laid in a feeding trough alongside the bleating sheep and lowing cattle. God in Christ, sharing in all the weakness and frailty of our human existence as a baby, sustained solely by the love and nourishment of a young mother. "The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe," wrote C.S. Lewis, "became not only a man, but before that a crying baby, and before that a fetus inside a woman's body. If you want to get the hang of it, think how you would like to become a slug or a crab." And it was his choice. Though he was rich, he became poor. But you know, his poverty didn't end at Christmas. It extended far beyond the circumstances of his birth and even beyond the simple way of life, which was his as the son of a carpenter. The poverty that he experienced, the poverty that he chose, was that of a man who humbled himself in selfless love and service. On the last night before his death, when he was eating his last meal with his disciples, John tells us in his gospel that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist and washed his disciples' feet. He performed the task of a common slave. Though he was rich, he became poor. And the story continues. For on that night he was betrayed by a friend with a kiss. He was hauled off by the temple police to face a tribunal already determined to convict him. The following day, Jesus was unjustly condemned by an unruly mob who cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He was flogged and mocked and spat upon, and he was then nailed to a Roman cross. Without a penny to his name, his only possessions, his garments, were confiscated by his executioners. This was his fate. This was his poverty. And it was no accident of birth. He chose to give his life in this way. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well what awaited him there. Though he was rich, he became poor. Poorer than we can ever imagine, as he was abandoned even by his Father in heaven, as he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Why? Why did he do it? It was for your sake, Paul says. He did it for people like you. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, I suppose if you or I chose poverty, and even if we chose some heroic, selfless death, it might help a few people, perhaps, but certainly not the whole world. There's nothing particularly praiseworthy about being poor. So why does Paul say that through Jesus' poverty, we all might become rich? Well, the answer to that question gets to the very heart of the message of Christmas. In his Son, God entered into our world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took on the poverty of human existence in this fallen world. More than that, he took on the poverty of death itself. Not because he deserved that death, but because we did. He became like us so that he could take our moral poverty upon himself, offering himself as that perfect atoning sacrifice for our moral bankruptcy. He entered into our world to be our representative, our substitute before God, bearing the judgment that should be ours. And you see, that's why Paul talks about grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his unfathomable love, God gives us what we don't deserve. He offers himself in our place so that we might be forgiven and enter into a new kind of life, life lived in the love of God forever. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Do you want to get rich? Many people do. Many people do, and that's why there will always be scammers in the world who will deceive people with their fraudulent schemes. But here is a get-rich scheme. A sure get-rich scheme, if there ever was one, offering riches that far exceed anything this world can offer. For your sakes, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Rich with the inexhaustible treasures of heavenly glory. I think we rightly call a person rich who can celebrate Christmas surrounded by those he loves and those who love him regardless of what gifts may happen to be under the tree. But how much greater the gifts of being surrounded by the love of God. To know that the Creator of heaven and earth is now your heavenly Father who invites you to share in his eternal family. Forget all that you can buy in the mall or on Amazon. Nothing can compare with this. There can be no greater wealth. These are riches unaffected by the drop in the stock market. They are immune to any economic downturn. Not even death in a global pandemic could take them away. They are secure forever. The riches that are ours in Christ. But where's the catch, you may ask? I mean, there's always a catch. Why doesn't everybody enjoy these riches? The catch is that instead of being deceived by those who offer you false riches in order to receive the riches that Christ offers, you must come to your senses. You must recognize the truth about yourself. You must see that the death that Jesus died was the death that you deserved. You see, in order to get the riches of that Jesus Christ offers, you must first acknowledge your own poverty. You must realize that when Jesus died on that cross, it was your sin that put him there. It was your sin that he bore in himself for you. Now, if you could compare this Christmas message to a financial crisis, it's as if God himself was offering a divine bailout, actually paying off your debt himself. But it's a bailout offered only to those who acknowledge their own moral bankruptcy and are willing to receive what he offers, the gift of his Son. No, you can't come to Jesus Christ in a private jet thinking that you still have some moral capital left in the bank. No, you must come with empty hands in the humility of a beggar who knows he has nothing to offer, nothing except your own unpaid moral debts. You must come to God in this way, or not at all. For Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." For Jesus came into this world to pay the debt of poor, helpless sinners so that their debt could be forgiven. And so, friends, I ask you here tonight, on this Christmas Eve, does that include you? Are you among those poor sinners that Jesus Christ came to save? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. It was for your sake, for you. Do you believe that it was for you that he chose to come into the poverty of this world? You must. On this Christmas Eve, come to the poverty of the manger, a poverty culminating in a cross, and you will find there the true riches of God. Let's pray together. Oh, what love is here displayed. The God of glory humbling himself in the poverty of human existence, not merely in a manger, but even to the point of death on a cross. God taking our poverty himself so that we could share in his riches, the riches of knowing the glorious goodness of our God. How should we respond to such a gift? The Bible just says, first of all, say, "I'm sorry," resisting. I'm sorry, Lord, for resisting your will, for going my own way. That's what the Bible calls sin. This is repentance, turning away from what you know is wrong, confessing your own bankruptcy. And then saying, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to me in love, for coming personally into this world in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for your resurrection, so that I might have new life in you." And then you simply say, "Please. Oh, Lord, please come into my life by your Spirit. Make me the kind of person you want me to be." Oh, Lord, it's a simple response to this wonderful gift, the gift of your Son. Oh, Lord, I pray that each person here would know what it is to receive this gift even here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.